Good morning, Living Hope. It's great to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. 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 Well, this morning, as we start off our new year, as a church, we believe in fasting and prayer and for a purpose, spiritual purposes. And this morning, I'd like to bring a message about fasting and prayer. Have you ever felt strongly that something was supposed to happen? You were so sure that you had heard from God, that you waited and you prayed and you waited some more and nothing. Then the question started, did I miss God? Was that just me? Why isn't anything happening? Have you ever felt that? I mean, things that you were so focused on praying about. In Mark chapter 9, a father brought his son to the 9 disciples that were present with Jesus. The boy was demonized and epileptic. And even though the disciples had healed people before, they couldn't heal that child. Remember that story? When the disciples brought the boy to Jesus and he was healed, they asked Jesus this question: why couldn't we do it? And Jesus' answer in verse 29 says, this kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer and fasting. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning as we come and we worship you. Lord, we ask that your word would bring revelation, a deeper understanding, a revelation that brings transformation in our lives as we choose to become more Christ-like. I ask, Father God, that you would use this vessel as your mouthpiece, that all things that are said and done, Lord, would bring glory to your name. I ask that in your name, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there are things that God desires to happen in our lives and ministry that won't happen unless we fast. Fasting breaks strongholds. It liberates people and moves us into a realm of realizing God's power in our lives. The more time you're spending with God, the more you're going to see His hand of God move on your life in an extraordinary way. Like the disciples, there are things that God wills for us to do that we will not have the power to bring about unless we have spent time with Him. That's a pretty powerful statement, that we would not be able to achieve certain things unless we spent time for Him. We just heard it a moment ago as we were giving testimonies during service, that isn't it amazing how God has put on our heart to do certain things, but we fight the time issue. We're just so busy. Time. Oh, I should have done that, but I just ran out of time. How is it that we also don't have time for the Lord, and then we're not powerful? We feel powerless because we haven't spent time with Him. Now, fasting and praying, let me give you a definition of fasting and prayer. Prayer and fasting is defined as a voluntary going without food in order to focus on prayer and fellowship with God. Prayer and fasting often go hand in hand, but this is not always the case. You can pray without fasting and fast without prayer. It is when these two activities are combined and dedicated to God's glory that they reach their full effectiveness. Having a dedicated time of prayer and fasting is not a way of manipulating God into doing something that you desire. Rather, it's simply forcing yourself to focus and rely on God for the strength, provision, and wisdom that you need. You see, sometimes people mistake it. They think that if I fast and pray, I'm going to make God do this for me. Or if I fast and pray, I'm going to move His hand. And really, the purpose of fasting and praying is to be able to find yourself focusing on God, focusing on His strength, His provision, His wisdom. So prayer and fasting, what does the Bible say about it? Well, the Old Testament law specifically required prayer and fasting for only one occasion, which was called the Day of Atonement. Now, we've had Bill Siegler from Chosen People Ministries here, and he's done a teaching with us on the Day of Atonement. This custom became known as the Day of Fasting. If you want to read about that or see where it's in Jeremiah 36:6, or what's called the fast in Acts 27:9. Those are two good examples of that. Now, do you know that there's a whole bunch of examples of fasting and praying in the Bible? So let's take a look at a few. Moses fasted during the 40 days and 40 nights he was on Mount Sinai receiving the law from God. And if you're taking notes, that's Exodus 34:28. King Jehoshaphat called for a fast in all Israel when they were about to be attacked by the Moabites and the Amorites. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 3. In response to Jonah's preaching, the men of Nineveh fasted and put on sackcloth. Jonah 3:5. Prayer and fasting was often done in times of distress or trouble. David fasted when he learned that Saul and Jonathan had been killed. 2 Samuel 1, verse 12. Nehemiah had a time of prayer and fasting upon learning that Jerusalem was still in ruins. Nehemiah 1:4. Darius, the king of Persia, fasted all night after he was forced to put Daniel in the den of the lions. Daniel 6:18. Prayer also is recorded in the New Testament. The first spot in the Bible in the New Testament is found in Luke 2, verse 37, when Anna worshiped day and night, fasting and praying at the temple. And that was with the birth of Jesus. John the Baptist taught his disciples to fast. Mark 2:18. Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights before his temptation by Satan. Matthew 4:2. The church of Antioch fasted. Acts 13:2. And sent Paul and Barnabas off on their first missionary journey. Acts 13:3. Paul and Barnabas spent time in prayer and fasting for the appointment of elders in the church. Acts 14:23. So is prayer and fasting, is it recommended or is it required? Now, you know, it's interesting because, you know, when we take communion, the Word of God doesn't say how many times you should take communion. It just says, when you do, remember me. It's what the Lord says. So it doesn't have to be every single Sunday, nor once a year. It's really that when you do it, the purpose is to remember. Now, there's not teachings that say you have to pray and fast. It doesn't specifically command you to do it in a certain way at a certain time, other than that when they had the Day of Atonement. So what does the Word say? Well, the Word of God does not specifically command believers to spend time in prayer and fasting, and yet at the same time, prayer and fasting is definitely something we need to be doing. And Jesus makes the assumption that we will pray and fast. Now, this is kind of a little contradictory. It doesn't say you have to. It is not a rule or regulation. But Jesus assumes that you will pray and fast. If you look over in Matthew 6, verse 16. It says, and when you fast. So he's not like giving you a direct order to and how and when and the time period and how long it should be and all of that. But he says, when you fast. He's assuming that you do. In Matthew 19, 15, it says, the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. Jesus makes the assumption that his followers will fast. Notice that it's when and not if. I believe that fasting is an essential of the Christian life, and Jesus understands that the abundance of fasting will make us, the abstinence of fasting will make us spiritually feeble. Far too often, though, the focus of prayer and fasting is just on abstaining from food. Now, I have to tell you, fasting is with food. I understand that there are some people that say, well, I'm going to fast video games, and I'm going to fast TV, and I'm going to fast candy, or I'm going to fast soda, or I'm going to... Those things probably shouldn't be in our life anyway. Honestly. And see, now I got some of you mad at me. You can say anything, but don't take away my soda. I understand that a lot of those things really take up a lot of our time. But fasting actually deals with food. It always has. It always will. We've added other things on top of it. We've added those other things. So much is just focused on the abstaining from food. But instead, the purpose of Christian fasting should be to take our eyes off of the things of the world and focus our thoughts on God. That's the purpose of it. Fasting should always be limited to a set time because not eating for extended periods can't be damaging to the body. And there are some of us here that have different medical needs and things that we need to accommodate. I understand that. And the Lord understands that. Fasting is not a method of punishing our bodies, and it's not used for a dietary method, okay? Sometimes people get this idea that if I fast, it's like I'm hitting myself. It's almost like Luther, whipping myself, you know? If I hit myself hard enough and it hurts bad enough, then I'll know I shouldn't do it again. It's not that. It's not a punishment. It never was intended to be a punishment. And nor is it a dietary method. Hey, went and fasted, lost 15 pounds, don't I look great? That wasn't the reason for fasting. We're not to spend time in prayer and fasting in order to lose weight, but rather to gain a deeper fellowship with God. By taking our eyes off of things of this world through prayer and biblical fasting, we can better focus on Christ. Can I just tell you, out of all time, I would have to say it's the hardest thing to be a Christian today. And that's kind of like a broad kind of statement. But I got to tell you something. We have more distractions in this world today than they ever have. Would you agree? I mean, not only just radio and television, the internet, and I mean, it's all of this gadgets. And we've now been consumed with so much time with sports and hobbies and personal pleasure, and I mean the list just goes on. So much takes away from our time. We're so distracted. So why is fasting such a struggle? Have you ever asked that? Why is fasting such a struggle? I know the answer. Are you ready for this great wisdom? We like to eat. That's it. That's the answer. We like to eat. But I mean, if fasting was so important, why is it so hard? I know that we fast the beginning of the year every year. And I have been very blessed to have some of you be so honest with me. to say, you know what, Pastor, sometimes this is so hard for me. If you could just, you know, encourage me every week or just send me a note that you were thinking, that would just be so awesome. We used to do 40-day fasts here. Some of you are nodding your head and remembering that. And I remember some people who they get their first week in and then all of a sudden they fall off the wagon. They go, you know what, forget it. I can't do it. And then they would just stop and they wouldn't do it anymore. That's not the purpose, to make you feel bad. But it is a good example of how something controls our life. And so, you know, we're planning to do 21 days of fasting. We're choosing to do the Daniel fast, so it's not like we're giving up food. It's just changing what we eat. If you want to read about the Daniel fast, it is what Daniel did, and it's in the Bible. If you want more information, you can come and see me. But this idea of fasting is so hard. Do you know that there's what they call the Esau syndrome? Have you heard of that? In Hebrews 12, verse 16, it says, watch, and this is a, paraphrase. Watch out for the Esau syndrome, trading away God's lifelong gift in order to satisfy a short-term appetite. Esau comes in and he says, I'm willing to sacrifice spiritual and physical blessing on the altar of my immediate appetite. There are some blessings from God you will and I will never receive unless we dethrone King Stomach. All hail King Stomach. I mean, think about this. Esau was the firstborn. If you understood in biblical times what that actually meant, it would actually blow your mind about what he would receive as the firstborn from the father, the firstborn male. The inheritance that he would get. What was his compared to the other children. And Esau gave it all up for a bowl of soup. And we think, come on, you have got to be kidding me. A bowl of soup? And how many of us have lost spiritual blessings because we have been the same way? Oh, maybe it wasn't soup. Maybe it was the computer. Your phones. Could be anything. We would lose that same spiritual and physical blessing because we sacrificed it. There is a physical and a spiritual battle, and we have to understand that both of these are playing at the same time. As we fast, there will be physical challenges along the way. I'm telling you this, okay? So that you're not caught off guard. Some may experience a caffeine headache. It's like one of the first things I notice when people start fasting. Oh man, I got this headache. If I just had a cup of coffee, it would settle it. Some may not feel very well. For most, there is more than just a little detoxing happening in our bodies. But the battle is more than just physiological. As we fast, a spiritual battle is being waged as well. Remember this morning I told you everything that we see in the natural is first in the spiritual? But when we decide to fast, not only are we fighting in the physical realm of that, the struggle of that, the way our bodies will feel of that, but it is also raging war in the heavenlies, in the spiritual realm. Things are happening in the spiritual realm that we neither perceive nor understand outside of God revealing those things to us. Let's take a look over at Matthew. If you open up your word, Matthew, first book of the New Testament, chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father, who is unseen, and your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. In other words, when the lunch lady at school says, Steve, would you like another helping of lunch? Oh, no. You see, for thou art fasting and praying, for the Lord has put it on my heart not to eat this slop for 21 days. No. And it just, you don't do that. No, just say, yeah, I'm going to abstain. We're good. And with a great attitude and a great smile. Because you see, if I walk around going, oh, you know, Frank, I really would love to have some of your homemade macaroni and cheese, but pal, I'm fasting right now for a spiritual breakthrough. You know that acknowledgement I just got from Frank? That was my blessing. Do you understand? We need to do in secret so that the Father, who sees what's done unseen, will reward you. You see, there's power in prayer. So we talk about the fasting part. There's power in prayer. It's important to remember that fasting is more than just missing a meal. Powerful sessions of fasting are experienced when we plan to spend additional time in God's presence as we fast. So it's not about that I am fasting, but that what was I doing before that? Well, maybe I was preparing the meals. Maybe I was sitting down for 45 minutes to have the meal. What if I use that 45 minutes extra every day to be in the Word of God? To let His Word minister to my heart. Let His Word change me. Because I know my wife can't change me. She's tried. But the Word of God can change me. And an everlasting change. You know what I mean? It's not like embracing that. In the presence of God. As well, purpose now that every hunger pain, every feeling of fatigue, every caffeine headache will be a reminder to call on God in that moment and to cry out for those things you are seeking Him to do in your life. I've heard this said, fasting is a desperate measure for desperate times among those who know themselves desperate for God. It brings us closer to God. But don't just focus on the battle or the pain. Scripture promises is fullness of joy in God's presence, and there are pleasures at His right hand. Delight yourself in seeking Him, and you'll know the joy of seeking Him work in your life. Desire it. Find the joy in reading the Scripture. Find the joy to be in His presence. Find that joy, and there will be a delight. You will watch Him move in your life. Prayer and fasting. But what does it accomplish? Spending time in prayer and fasting is not automatically effective in accomplishing the desires of those who fast. Fasting is, or no fasting. God only promises to answer our prayers when we are according to His will. Do you know the Scriptures say that? That He answers prayer according to His will. Not my will, His will. That's like in the prayer, Our Father, Your will be done, not my will, on earth as it is in heaven. His will, not our will. Do you know that it says in the Scriptures that He hears the prayers of the righteous? So, well, why is it God hearing me? You know, I'm really upset, you know. Maybe that bad attitude is not being very righteous before God. You know, we've talked before about when you wake up in the morning, are you going to put on His righteousness or are you going to put on your selfishness? You know, do we have the frame of mind that we are embracing God? That we're clothing ourselves with Him? That it's His desire, His purpose, His provision? Because the Word of God tells me that He hears the prayers of the righteous. The question I would be asking while I'm praying and fasting, Lord, what does righteousness look like to You? Because apparently if I'm doing my righteousness, we got a conflict. And I know yours is right and mine's not. So Lord, what does righteousness look like? Only God promises to answer our prayers when we're asking to do it in His will. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, it says this. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him. Now, I've had a lot of people go, yeah, well, I prayed for $1 million and God didn't give me that. Somehow I'm not thinking $1 million in your hands is God's will. I'm not sure that you handle the 10 bucks you have, right? Why would He give you $1 million? You get yourself in trouble or dead or something. You see, it says, and this is where we want to leave pieces of scripture out. It says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will. So before I can ask God of anything, should I not take the time to seek His will for my life? Hence the key to that scripture. We've not taken the time to seek His will. So that everything that we ask that's not in His will ain't going to happen. It falls on deaf ears. It says that when we ask in His will, well, how do we get His will? By spending time with Him, fasting and praying. In the prophet Isaiah's time, the people were grumbling because they had fasted. If you read the story, it's in Isaiah 58. But they were grumbling because they had fasted, and yet God did not answer in the way that they wanted. And Isaiah responded by proclaiming that the external showing of fasting and prayer without the proper heart attitude was futile. Why don't we take a look at the scripture? It's Isaiah 58, verses 3 through 9. And this is what it said. This is the people. Why have we fasted and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take not knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. Is such the fast that I chose, a day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? It is not this the fast that I chose you, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and He will say, "Here I am." Wow. Wow. Now, thank you for those who said amen. That's a great place to say amen. I mean, then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and He will say, "Here I am." How can we know God's will? God's promises to give us wisdom when we ask. In James verses, chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him." Could it possibly be that we don't know because we've not asked? If we need wisdom, all we need to do is ask. Say, "Lord, in your word, in James, it says, James 1:5, anybody who desires wisdom, if we would ask you, you would give it to us without fault." I want wisdom. This morning, I would like to conclude by asking you a few questions. I'm not asking if you this morning are going to fast for yourself. What I am asking is, will you join me to fast and pray corporately for a breakthrough for Living Hope, for a breakthrough for the Bride of Christ? You see, when great things happened in biblical history, it was because they all came together to fast and pray. It was a corporate. And so I'm going to ask you, you could fast and pray for yourself, but this morning I'm asking, will you join me in fasting and praying corporately for a breakthrough for Living Hope? That Living Hope can become all that God wants it to be. For the Bride of Christ, who will rise up without blemish and be seen in this world. Great things happen when we together seek God, when we lock shields and we push the kingdom forward, when we desire His plan, His purpose in our lives and for our lives. Will you stand with me this morning as we pray? Heavenly Father, as we enter into our new year, we want to honor and glorify you. As we're standing before the throne of God right now, I want to ask each and every one of you, are you willing to deny the flesh and devote yourself to God for your breakthrough? You see, it does require of us denying the flesh and devoting our time to God. We must understand, if we are asking for something that is not honoring to God or not God's will for our lives, God will not give what we ask for, whether we're fasting or not fasting. This morning I want to ask you, have you decided to seek Him so that you may realize if you are praying and fasting according to God's will? Will you pray and fast for things that honor and glorify God? Will you allow the Bible and God's Word to clearly reveal His will for you? Are you willing to deny the flesh and devote yourself to God for your breakthrough? Heavenly Fathers, we stand before you this morning. We realize that there are things that are required of us to receive the blessing. The Lord, that as we come before you to fast and pray, we're not trying to manipulate you. We're not trying to get you to do something for us, but that we truly understand that our time in fasting and prayer is to get closer to you, so you can shine your light through us, that we can be better husbands, better wives, that we can be better friends, that we can be someone who sincerely influences the kingdom for your glory, Jesus. As we come to fast and pray for the next 21 days, Lord, we do it willingly. We're not forced. We do it, Lord, so that we can draw closer to you, to hear your voice, to know that you are the power, that you are our provision, that you are our protection. Speak to us. Be the light unto our feet. direct our paths, open our ears, that we may hear you, and in hearing you, honor you by all that we do and say. Glory to you, Jesus. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Do you have any desire to